All right, folks, it is 5 p.m. and we're going to get started on the dot because I might actually get real close to 5:30. I packed in a lot of information in this one. This is a pretty fun one, I thought. So welcome to History Happy Hour. My name is Jess Edberg, currently your host. And the goal or the purpose of this program is to educate and inspire people. Especially inspiring folks to learn more about your local history. So all information that I prepare and present at these programs is publicly available. You don't have to go anywhere specific. And then I do recognize the contributors of information towards the end or during the program, depending on what kind of information I get. Tonight, we are going to be talking about St. Urho's Day. Is anybody a St. Urho's Day celebrant? I see one right over here very clearly. Do you mind standing up and just sharing your celebratory garb? Yes. Thank you. And we got one in the back. Wonderful. Excellent. And I do see some purple. Wonderful. So History Happy Hour is a program that is supported and sponsored by a variety of organizations, including the Boathouse Brew Pub, where we are right now in the Lookout Lounge. We have support from the Ely Folk School and Boundary Waters Connect, as well as the Ely Heritage Preservation Commission and the Dorothy Moulter Museum. So please, if you see representatives of those organizations, thank them for letting us do this. And it's free, so that's extra bonus points. So St. Urho, and if you were here last week or last month, I did learn from my technological foibles, and I printed my notes this time instead of relying on technology. So who was St. Urho, and why is there a day celebrated for him here in the United States, in the Great Lakes states of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Burlington, Vermont, Hood River, Oregon, Napa Valley, California, Lake Worth, Florida, and in Butte, Montana, where they have the St. Urho pageant at the Helsinki Bar, and provide a multi-day festival. Now, the mythology of St. Urho originated not centuries ago in Finland, the country, but a mere 70-ish years ago here in Minnesota. The exact origin story is a bit muddy. But like many myths, there appeared to be a convergence of like-minded thinking in both Virginia and Bemidji, Minnesota, possibly influenced by political tensions between Russia and Finland and illustrated through metaphorical strife. Okay, so let's break this story down into bite-sized pieces, or shot-sized pieces. I mean, we are at a bar if you feel like doing shots. So, the birth of St. Urho's Day is believed to have begun in the mid 1950s at Catola's department store in Virginia, Minnesota. According to the Iron Range Research Center in 1956, co-workers Mrs. McCavick asked store manager Richard Matson why Finns didn't have a hero like Ireland's St. Patrick. I would like to add that in a lot of information I found, they reference it as Mr. McCavick. But it was actually Mrs. McCavick that asked the question, which I think is notable. The epic tale he spun to her inspired McCavick to pen the Ode to St. Urho on a piece of parcel wrapping paper, which has been dutifully preserved and archived at the Minnesota Discovery Center in Chisholm. The original version of the story, the Great St. Urho, drove all the poisonous frogs out of Finland before the last ice age. Strengthened by drinking sour milk and eating fish head stew, his voice became so loud and intimidating that he scared all the frogs away. The ode was written phonetically in a mostly cultural offensive, heavy Finnish accent. So I will read it in that non in my own voice. 1, 2, 3, 5. Saint Urho is the boy for me. He chased out the frogs so big and green, bravest Finn I ever seen. Some celebrate for St. Pat and his snakes, but Urho boy has got what it takes. He got tall and strong on Filia sour and ate kalamoyaka every hour. That's why that guy could shoot those frogs that grew as big as jackpine logs. So let's give a cheer in our best way on May 24th, St. Urho's Day. Postscript. Thank you, Richard, for telling us the history of this Superman, Urho, on the main floor of Kits. So, what about the grasshoppers, which most of us today, I think, are very familiar with? Well, also credited as the originator of the St. Urho legend is Dr. Sulo Havamaki, a psychology professor at Bemidji State College in Bemidji, Minnesota. According to Havamaki's version, the frog plague was turned into grasshoppers, who were consuming the grape crop that would become fine wine in ancient Finland. Because apparently, prehistoric Finland was allegedly a much warmer place than it is today. St. Urho would use his booming voice to chant, Haina sirka, menna tauta ni hiten, which translates to grasshopper, grasshopper, go away, or go to hell, depending on whose translation you use. Through his triumph, St. Urho saved the vineyards and the jobs of those who picked the grapes, and that is how St. Urho became the patron saint of Finnish vineyard workers. It is also why the traditional colors of St. Urho's Day are purple and green, representing the purple grapes and the green grasshoppers. Interestingly, the date of St. Urho's Day was also changed to March, March 16th, the day before St. Patrick's Day. As well as the original epic poem, it was edited to accommodate the preferred version of St. Urho's legend that included grasshoppers and vineyards, yet still in the wildly inappropriate approximation of a heavy Finnish accent. Let me read it to you in that non-accent. 1, 2, 3, 5. St. Urho is the boy for me. He chased out the grasshoppers that were big as birds. Never before have I heard those words. He really told those bugs of green, bravest Finn I've ever seen. Some celebrate for St. Pat and his snakes, but Urho boy has got what it takes. He got tall and strong on Filia Sour and ate Kala Moyaka every hour. That's why that guy could chase those beetles that grew as thick as jackpine needles. So let's give a cheer in our best way on the 16th of March, St. Urho's Day. Guess where Sulo Havimaki was from? If you guess the Iron Range, you're correct. And guess when he moved to Bemidji to work at Bemidji State? If you guessed 1956, you'd be right again. Upon arriving at Bemidji State in 1956, he began disseminating his idea to preempt the huge celebrations to everyone who claims to be Irish, if only for one day. In an archived memo from 1981 at the Beltrami County Historical Society involving society leadership, they recognized Havamaki's background information on St. Urho and his exclusive connection with BSU and his origins. It concluded a document titled How St. Urho's Day Came to America and stressed that all is good, fun, and supportive of ethnic identity. It is the more remarkable since there are no grapes in Finland, no grasshoppers, and 25 years ago, the only one man in America was aware of Finland's savior. Very interesting story indeed. Havamaki seemed to have a knack for promoting St. Urho's Day, and quickly others embraced, especially by the college community of both faculty and students. When questioned, Havamaki insisted he was not making this up. Rather, he was reminding people of an ancient tradition. Each March, a press release announced an upcoming grand parade to be led by a celebrity grand marshal. One year, John Wayne was invited. Another year, Spiro Agnew. Each year, the celebrity had to decline due to previous commitments and the parade was canceled. When Havamaki received a letter from a Finnish scientist in Finland, along with a few relics of St. Urho, he put the items on display on campus. The town of Managa, not too far from Bemidji, has one of the most iconic statues of St. Urho in Minnesota, possibly second to Finland, Minnesota's, and host a weekend festival in mid-March influenced by Havamaki's yarn. The statue is right on US Highway 71, depicting him with a huge impaled grasshopper, and it was dedicated in 1981 with the breaking of a bottle of wild Irish rose wine on the toe of the statue by Sulo's widow, Doris. Another story puts the origination of St. Urhose again in the 1950s in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan by Kenneth Brist, a social studies teacher originally from Wisconsin. His son states that he and his friends concocted March 16th as St. Urho's Day so that they had 2 days to celebrate, the next day being St. Patrick's Day. That by having it one day before St. Patrick's Day, folks could get some of the alcohol before the Irish drank it all. An additional ode was written in honor of both saints as well, but we'll skip that in the interest of time. Similarities between the Irish St. Patrick and the Finnish St. Urho don't stop at the dates their celebrations occur. St. Patrick, the patron saint of snake infestations and bites, is famous for metaphorically chasing all the snakes out of Ireland in the 5th century. The metaphor, of course, is that the snakes were actually the Picton Anglo-Saxon people that were viewed as pagans. St. Patrick is credited with converting those that weren't extirpated or brutally tortured and murdered to Christianity. Because there have never been snakes in Ireland. Another interesting parallel to this story of an Irish scourge of snakes that had to be cleansed from the landscape is that the Cold War was in full swing by the time the legend of St. Urho came around. In 1956, Finland, a newly elected president, showed promise of keeping the tensions between Russia and Finland to a low simmer. The Winter War was behind them, but it was false comfort. That president, Urho Kekkonen. The son of a lumberjack best known for his diplomacy and ability to keep relations with the Soviet Union neutral. The Soviets being a potential swarm of locusts that could have easily invaded the smaller country that they had once ruled in the not too distant past, 1917 to be exact. Finally, Patrick was never formally canonized in his lifetime, nor soon after, having lived before the canonization process of the Catholic Church. So neither Saint Patrick nor Saint Urho were actual saints. However, according to the account in the Royal Society of Antiquities of Ireland, published in 1933, Saint Patrick's bones went through an official solemn translation in 1186. So technically, Saint Pat is a saint now. Given the shady mythology of Saint Urho and the day that celebrates him, Saint Urho's Day celebrations have spread and grown across the country and even back to Finland, where some towns have embraced the idea of Saint Urho as well. Finlanders are familiar with the story, but despite the fake saint's valiant efforts, there are still grasshoppers in Finland. And the country still doesn't grow grapes. And some say he should have been saving the hops and barley instead. And St. Urho's pub in Finland's capital, Helsinki, named after the former Finnish president, Urho Kekkonen. And of course, in 2001, St. Urho's wife, Sinikka, was finally recognized for her part in Urho's success. Did you know he was married? Yeah. Let's not delve into the centuries of women's history that has been lost from intentional omission and instead finally acknowledge the story of Seneca, who likened her marriage to a team of oxen working in tandem. According to Priscilla J. Harvilla, and provided by Joshua Forsman, who is here tonight, she wrote the ode to Seneca, perhaps the real St. Urho's Day hero. Like many women of her time, she dealt with the grapes that her husband saved from the grasshoppers. With the help of their 12 children, all of which she cleaned in the sauna before throwing them all naked into the grape barrel to stomp the grapes to make jellies, jams, and one can only assume wine because with 12 kids, mom needs a little me time. Folks may never agree on the true origin of the legend of St. Urho, and it may loosely represent a disdain for the Soviet Union and vaguely perpetuate the racist stereotype that people of Irish descent drink a lot. But what we do know is the modern celebrations of St. Urho's Day honor Finnish heritage, acknowledge the silliness of its made-up history, and have a lot of fun. So pull out your green Nile and royal purple attire, put your milk out to spoil and sour, and start boiling the fish head soup in preparations for St. Urho's Day this coming Saturday. That actually went a lot faster than when I practiced before. So allow me to elaborate. Question. That's a really good question. It looks like, and this is of course just based on basic, so the question is, how did it get out to Butte, Montana? And basic Google detective work, it looks like folks either visited the Midwest and took it out there, or folks that were from the Midwest brought it with them. But there's also a lot of Finnish folks out there. And in Butte, Montana, they have an area of Old Butte called Little Finland. And there are a whole bunch of, well, there used to be a whole bunch of Finnish businesses in that area. And the Helsinki Bar is one of the last remaining true like Finnish businesses in that area. So they really celebrate and whoop it up. excuse me. So History Happy Hour is generally offered on the third Wednesday of the month. However, with the oncoming summer season, the May History Happy Hour will be the last one before a summer hiatus. And so depending on conversations with other organizations or locations, there's a possibility that for June, July, and August, it could be offered elsewhere. But we'll take a pause here at the Boathouse, and the plan is to resume them again in October. So we'll have April on the 17th and then May on the whatever the third Wednesday of May is. And I haven't completely decided the topics yet. I have a couple ideas. So if you have any suggestions, I'd love to hear them. There's of course a lot of buildings with a lot of history, but trying to diversify the topics. But also want to throw out a advertisement for tomorrow here at the Boathouse is Trivia Night. So Ely Trivia tomorrow night here, 6:30 to roughly 8:30-ish. There's food and beverages available, and it is always a fundraiser for a local nonprofit. So it's not only fun, but it's also doing good for another organization in the community. So please come to that. And also, there's usually one question in trivia that's related to History Happy Hour. So if you come to this and then go tomorrow, you have a leg up on anybody else that hasn't been here tonight. So keep that in mind. I do want to acknowledge the resources that I used for this particular program. A lot of the photos came from outside organizations, Minnesota Discovery Center, Iron Range Historical Society, Accelerator Advertising, which is just an advertising company that wanted to showcase their animation skills and made a cute little video on St. Urho. Bemidji Pioneer, UMD Archives and Special Collections, and Inga Kategorier, who just had a picture on Facebook. Resources for information were Iron Range Historical Society, Encyclopedia Britannica, Minnesota Historia, which if you enjoy history in bite-sized pieces, Minnesota Historia is a PBS production. It's a YouTube series. They're in their third season, and they did an episode on St. Urho's Day and interviewed a lot of people in Finland, Minnesota. Every episode is a hoot. Really cool information about really random pieces of history all across Minnesota. Timo Winkinen at sturho.com, Sue Bruns with the Bemidji Pioneer, Dan Crocker from an article from PRI The World, Kathy Toivonen through Minnesota Wilds, and Joshua Forsman for information used in this program. So hopefully, if you're new to this and you enjoyed it, you will come back on April 17th. And if you didn't like it, That's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to. So thank you for coming. Ah, yes. A cheers to St. Urho.
Yes.
And okay, a cheers to St. Patrick.